I was a bartender in New York, New Jersey, and customers would say, oh, you're really funny. You should go to comedy. And so I entered this contest. I won, and so I thought, look, this is going to be great.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Westenhofer, a famous lesbian comedian.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The then and now of a trailblazing lesbian comedian and drama pop queer cabaret and Naked Truth make their musical debuts in the audiophile. All that and more this week now that you've discovered This Way Out. Our news wrap colleagues took the week off to enjoy the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, but Cindy Friedman and Christopher Gold will be back next time to catch us up on some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community. On this special program, audiophilers Chris Wilson and J.D. Doyle feature the inaugural CDs of three exciting new queer performers. But first... Suzanne Westenhofer grew up in Pennsylvania, earned a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree, and, like so many aspiring actors, moved to New York City, where naturally she found work as a bartender. She began her professionally funny career on a dare, and in the early 1990s she was one of the very few openly queer comedians doing stand-up in mainstream comedy clubs. Westenhofer's HBO comedy special, the first by an openly lesbian performer, was nominated for a Cable Ace Award, and her two comedy albums, Nothing in My Closet But My Clothes and I'm Not Cindy Brady, each won Best Comedy Gay and Lesbian American Music Awards. She's currently working on her third CD, but the blonde-tressed comedy diva spent some time recently chatting about life, love, career, and politics with This Way Out correspondent Lonnie Stern.
How do you feel about being known as one of those lesbians who doesn't look like a lesbian?
Oh, actually, I just, interestingly enough, I got my hair cut, and they said, now I look like a lesbian.
Do you think it's supposed to be a compliment, or what?
You know, I think it is. I think the idea is that you're not some scary stereotype. But you know what? I love stereotypes. I love big, butch, gay girls, and I love the screaming sissy boys, so I'm like, I don't always take it as a compliment, but I think almost everyone means it that way. I got a certain amount of attention and a certain amount of publicity because I didn't look like a heterosexual stereotype of what a lesbian was supposed to look like, but that was only really, really early in my career. By the time, because I started in the end of 90, by the time 93, 94, 95 rolled around, you didn't even hear that anymore because, you know, everybody had come out and moved and television people were out. And, you know, it just changed a lot in the first, like, 5 years. And I think that if I had been, you know, a quote-unquote big, you know, butch, you know, whatever they want to say, flannel-wearing camping girl, if you're funny, then that would have opened other doors, different doors for that reason. You know what I mean? I think as a comedian and a performer, you use whatever you have. You know what I mean? If you're 7 feet tall and you're doing stand-up, then you got to use the fact that you're Sasquatch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you're a lesbian doesn't look like what people think a lesbian looks like, so then you talk about it. If you're a lesbian who looks exactly like a lesbian, I mean, there's a comedian, Sabrina Matthews, who says the funniest thing. She's out there doing stand-up. And about 5 minutes into it, she says something about a lesbian, and then she turns the audience and goes, yeah, like there was anyone here who didn't know that, because, you know, she's got her little crew cut and her little flannel shirt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The whole San Francisco thing working for her. And it's hysterical, because in that sense, she is acknowledging she looks a little stereotypical, and that everyone in the audience, as soon as she walked out, knew or thought it. And how funny is that? So I think if you're really funny, we say this all the time, if you're really funny and you'll do okay. You'll be able to make it work for you.
Well, how did you get into comedy?
I sort of got forced. I was a bartender in New York, New Jersey, and customers would say, oh, you're really funny. You should go into comedy. And I'm like, please. I'm this big activist gay girl. I'm like all queer and stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to be a stand, you know. And so I entered this contest after a while, and I won. And so I thought, look, this is going to be great. No big deal. Who knew?
I saw that you actually, you went to college to do a BFA.
I have a BFA in acting.
In acting,
yeah.
I have a lot of friends who did the same thing. They went to New York. They're excellent bartenders.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right on.
Well, has this kind of jaded you against college in general, or no?
No.
Don't want to go on record as saying that, eh?
I wouldn't even say it off record. I would never say anything like that. Education, I think, is the most important people in the planet, and every place you go are teachers, and that's because you can't do anything until someone shows you how. So I don't have, no, I think the more education, the better.
Most of the time when I speak to comedians, I ask this question.
The special comedian question.
Yeah. Was it worse coming out as a comedian or as a lesbian?
Neither. I told my mom I was gay when I knew I was gay. And the stand-up thing, everyone around me wanted me to do it but me. So there was no one to come out to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as far as being coming out as a stand-up, meaning coming out as a lesbian stand-up, like I started out the very first time I got on stage, I was openly queer. I didn't have any kind of career of being a straight, quote-unquote, straight comic and then having to come out. I've never been in the closet about anything for any reason for anybody because I don't know how to. It's not particularly brave of me or, you know, like I'm some amazing, fabulous, tough personality. It's because I just assume that people will be fine, and if they're not, then I'm kind of like, well, then I'm probably not going to like you for a whole lot of other reasons, so there's no reason to waste time. You know, because people will say, you know, you could do this if you weren't so gay, if you weren't so whatever, or why do you have to tell people, you know, there's always been those kind of questions that sort of like, why do you have to, you know, shove down so it's a force the situation. See, I don't actually force it, but I'm extremely upfront about it right from the beginning. The same way heterosexuals are actually upfront about their sexuality, they just don't know they are, because they talk about their husband or their kids or their boyfriend or sex or whatever, and I'm exactly the same way.
Do you think your comedy is being political?
Yeah, I think doing what I do is political. I'm not a political comic, per se, meaning I don't base my comedy on the politics of the day. What I do, the idea of being out and just, like, going forward and not, like, allowing myself to be, you know, forced in the closet or toned down or watered down, that's a political thing to do.
Well, it seems like you've done a great job in pushing the envelope, especially, you know, you were one of the first, I mean, if not the first gay comedian on television.
I was the first openly gay comic on, yes, in a sense I was, because I was the first one on Comedy Central, Evening at the Improv, Caroline's Comedy Hour, those shows, remember all that comedy stuff?
It's a guaranteed half-hour delivery of stand-up performances. HBO Comedy Half Hour, Suzanne Westenhofer, next on HBO.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Westenhofer, a famous lesbian comedian. Yeah, big deal, right? Everybody's a lesbian comedian now. There are millions of us. Everyone's a lesbian. Have you noticed that? More and more people are lesbian. I knew as soon as we started to dress better, everyone would want to be us. Everyone's coming out. It's great. Katie Lang came out. God, that was exciting, wasn't it? And, yeah. God, girl. Now Melissa Etheridge came out. And my favorite, though, was this April, on the last April, on the March on Washington, when Martina Navratilova came out. Woo! Do you think there were like 8 people in Nebraska going, oh, no way! But I do have a girlfriend. I have a girlfriend, about 2 years now. A girlfriend who is totally in the closet. Now, what do you think she was thinking? Let's see. I don't want any of my friends, family, relatives, or the people I work with to know that I'm gay. I'll date the most visible lesbian I can find. We went on one of those Olivia cruises, which is an all-lesbian cruise, right? So you were there. 600 lesbians on a boat. My girlfriend's in the closet. She spent the whole cruise trying to find a uniform. So in case the boat went down, it would say 599 lesbians and one crew member. She flips out. I'm serious. We'll be in, like, I don't know, like the grocery store produce aisle. And, you know, you innocently say something like, honey, do you think we got your... Shh. Don't call me honey. We're out in the open. Now, I don't know what she thinks is going to happen. Maybe 10,000 rednecks are just going to swoop down on us. It'll be like a big helicopter circling above. All right, ladies, we know that you're lesbians. Now just back away from the bananas. I'm sorry, I'm straight bashing a little. Bummer. No, I feel bad for them sometimes, straight people. I do, come on, they have to fight in the military. Bye. You be careful. We'll take care of your wives. I'm sorry, I'm in a weird mood tonight because I'm ovulating. Anybody else? You know what I mean, you know, the egg making the trip down the tube. Sending one down right now. There you go. And I always feel so bad for my eggs, you know, kind of guilty. Because I'm a lesbian. You know, you feel like your eggs are up there going, big deal, here we go again. We're not going to meet anybody. One big singles dance for my eggs. All right.
Has being a stand-up comedian been difficult in terms of maintaining a relationship?
No. I've been with Anne for 10.5 years.
So does she travel with you? Or you
sometimes,
know,
yeah. You know, I'll tell you a little secret. She travels when it sounds like fun. Like tomorrow, she's going to Austin with me.
All right.
She's all like, Austin, Texas? Yeah, you know what I mean? But, like, if I'm going to Minnesota and it's February, yeah, you can bet she's not coming. She makes some really, really smart choices.
Well, I know that you're coming here for a fundraiser, and I saw that you've done some fundraising for NOW, National Organization for Women. Are you very involved in that organization?
Well, it's really funny because before I was a stand-up, I was a member of NOW, and I've done all these fundraisers for them, but I don't think I'm I think I left my actual card thing lapsed. How funny is that? I have sent them money, though. And it's the same thing with I do benefits now, and I'm actually more involved than I ever was, but Planned Parenthood,
really?
It's probably the only thing I still have a card somewhere that I yearly renew.
Well, are you interested with Planned Parenthood because you're interested in being a parent or
reproductive
rights?
No, reproductive rights is so, it's like second on my list next to human, women, civil rights. Because if you're a girl, the right to choose whether or not you have a child is like the greatest human rights issue there is for you. Because not only if you get pregnant and you don't have the option of abortion, or if you can't find something to help you not have more babies, you have no rights as a human being. And you're bringing people in the world who sort of don't have that much going for them either. You know, starting out unwanted, excellent. That's a very big issue for me.
It seems like the women's rights movement was going and building steam, and then suddenly America got distracted and never finished the problem.
Excuse me? That happened for everybody, blacks, gays. Do you not remember how incredibly vibrant the gay community was in the late 80s to the early 90s? And then, like, when the AIDS crisis hit? We were ACT UP. We were Queer Nation. We were Lesbian Avengers. Gay prides were, you would come home after all day at a gay pride. I don't care where you were. I don't care if you were in Syracuse. I don't care if you were in Philadelphia. I don't care if you were in San Francisco. You would come home, and you were pumped and sweaty and psyched, and you had pamphlets, stack of pamphlets, things you knew you were going to do. What are they now? They're a holiday now, and they're like a celebration, and that's all good, but you know what I mean? We lost our steam big time, big time. And the women's movement lost it too. I think what happens is there's always a handful of people, a type of person, who really makes things happen. And they burn out, and there just isn't that second wave of people willing to be in the front line. Most people really just want to have things be fine.
Well, it seems like there are two things that are playing against us, at least from my experience here. One is that there isn't as large an organized group that hates us that comes to Pride events. The other is just a disagreement among the ranks. Like when you talk about things like domestic partner insurance versus a whole separate group who are worrying about universal health care because they're like, who cares if you're gay? Most, you know, 40% of Americans don't have insurance.
Right, that's right. Well, that's the other thing. We split amongst ourselves in a million things. I mean, haven't you heard, and you know you have, just in your own group of, say, 20 or 30 people that you might see in a six-month period, haven't you heard them say stuff like, oh, you know what, I don't want to go there. That's where all the fags are. Or, oh, you know what, I'm not going to that event. It's all dykey. We hate ourselves. We hate ourselves. And we are not the only group to do so. But I'm just saying, racism splits us up. Classism splits us up. The gay boys who won't lift a finger to do a thing for lesbian stuff. The lesbians who think, you know, that we should let all male boys die, you know what I mean, the separatists. This is not good stuff, and this has kept us in trauma for a long time, and we'll continue to do so until we understand that that's exactly what straight white boy wants, us fighting amongst ourselves. They don't have to do shit.
You know, gay seem to be getting mainstream. Do you think there's a danger in that?
No, I don't, because I think you can pass a law, but that doesn't change a person's heart. But if gays move into your neighborhood and their children go to school with your children and they help with the bake sale and life goes on, you know what I'm saying? If all that goes on, then that changes the way people feel about gays too. So gays will always be fringe, but they will also mainstream. But the more we mainstream, the more we change people's hearts because we're there.
Is there any topic that's taboo for you to speak about?
To speak about or to do jokes about?
To do jokes about.
Yeah, because there's nothing that's taboo for me to speak about. Nothing. But I don't think there'll ever be a time that I would ever find anything funny about rape or incest. It's just, like, never going to happen for me. And part of that's because I'm a girl. Part of it's because I've had too many people that I love and cherish that are so close to me that have been incested or raped. And I've seen what a horrifying, that's just like the rest of their life is over. You know what I mean? They just struggle so hard. I don't think that would be fine to me. But I'm a stand-up. The truth is, the most horrifying thing in the world will happen, and I'll be watching television, I'll see it, and my brain just goes there. I think of the joke. Doesn't mean I would say it. You know, there are many, many jokes that are just for inside your head. They're so not, you don't want to pull them up, or people will freak out.
What is at least one thing that you'd really like to see accomplished?
The thing that would change the world, I think, would be if we could, and this is a really controversial thing to say, but I've always believed this, if we could stop having to have a daddy in the sky, if we could get rid of the religions that are based on a God that you have to answer to, and you know what I mean? If we stopped looking up and looked straight out at each other and realized that we have been using religion to create lines in the sand and war and I'm better and just horrifying things. If we could stop having that desperate need to have the God thing above us and pray to it and my God's better than your God, the trickle down from that would be fabulous. It would be unbelievable.
That would be your Miss America top five?
Yeah, if I was Miss America, because I was in a Miss America prelim when I was a kid, when I was a young girl. I hope that just all people can understand that regardless of our nation's lines or our differences in color or speech, that really we are all just one person and we all bleed the same. And I'm going to feed starving children. There.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
That was pioneering openly lesbian comedian Suzanne Westenhofer in conversation with This Way Out correspondent Lonnie Stern. Her official website is at www.suzannew.com. That's SUZANNEW.com.
Hi, diddle-dee-dee, an actor's life for me.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out does as well. Join Greg and Lucia each week for This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine right here on this station.
Whose alabaster flesh gets scratched in the here and now? The answer to that musical question will be found in the latest offerings from the audiophile.
Right. nothing right with him. I'm wrong with you. So-and-so loves me and so-and-so hates me. Come on, big boy, pull on through. On through.
It's kind of started as a joke, but we call our style of music drama pop. And we were just kind of kidding when I started to call it that, but then everyone seemed to apparently really like it. And so we've kept it, and it's in our press kit and all that good stuff. But it's just very, very dramatic pop rock.
Drama pop is indeed a good term for the debut CD by Justin Tranter. It's called Scratched. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Tranter blends pop, musical theater, and rock in his original songs that are stunningly personal.
See you talking under your breath, and I can hear how you whisper. See you point me out to your friends, and don't think I don't know. I don't blend in. I know I don't blend. Keep walking till they go.
Find out more about Justin Tranter and his CD Scratched at www.justintranter.com. That's www.justintranter.com.
You made me cry and walk the floor. If you think I'll come back for more, Big Daddy, you got a lot to learn. Think you're great with all the boys, the living end with all your toys. Big Daddy, you got a lot to learn.
Chicago cabaret artist Steve Kimbrough brings us his debut CD called The Here and Now.
When we made the CD, it was a conscious choice of ours to keep all the songs in terms that related to being a homosexual male. I mean, we really did think about it for a while, what we wanted to do. I'm a gay man, and I've been gay a really long time, and I'm proud of being gay, and everyone I know pretty much knows I'm gay. So I felt pretty comfortable keeping the lyrics to him instead of going with the standard, changing it to a woman.
And he definitely keeps those male pronouns, so his CD would not be complete without a song about a prince.
Surely they exist. Surely there are sleeping beauties longing to be kissed. Noble gallant Galahads who shine with chivalry. And somewhere in the world there is one last prince for me.
The CD is called Here and Now by Steve Kimbrough. That's K-I-M-B-R-O-U-G-H. And you can find out more about it by visiting Amazon.com.
Our third debut album this month is by Sasha Sackett and is called Alabaster Flesh. It's a blend of many musical styles, including electronic, folk, and classical.
There's a black forest.
His writing is a journey of self-exploration that uses images from mythology to explore the concepts of masculinity and individuality.
I'm not a liar, and I don't think music or art should be about hiding. If anything, it needs to be about undressing and showing everything. I think that's what people relate to. And that's the importance of art in a lot of ways. So to be out is it's integral for me because I'm, you know, I'm gay.
But I am Achilles' heel, and I
For more information on Sasha Sackett and his CD Alabaster Flesh, visit www.sashasackett.com. That's www.sashasackett.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening. In 2002, Audiophile presented more wonderfully out gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered musicians than ever before, with an extraordinary array of artists and musical styles. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. We'll get 2003 started with a look back at the best in queer music of the year gone by, as we present our annual Audiophile Year in Review, when we pop the cork on a brand new year of This Way Out.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Lonnie Stern and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Arcus Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. This Way Out is in serious trouble. To find out how you can help keep this program on the air, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 2XX Canberra, Australian Capital Territory, KALW San Francisco, California, WRVU Nashville, Tennessee, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.